You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Money, power, privilege, excess, wealth. Whatever you want, when you want it, how you want it. Sean Puffy Combs. Of course, I could be talking about Jeffrey Epstein. The two have very disturbing similarities, both using their privilege, their fame, their fortune to mistreat and abuse young women if these allegations are true. Sean Puffy Combs. In the last hours, many comparisons have been made to the disgraced, now dead, financial guru, Jeffrey Epstein. After a very intricate web, all built in order for him to obtain, procure, and molest young girls, with a fleet of people working for him. Hench person number one, Ghislaine Maxwell, who is now behind bars. But think about it. Immense power, wealth, prestige. No one around them speaking out ever. Traveling freely across the U.S., keeping homes in California, in New York, in Florida. Yachts that take them onto the high seas, outside of U.S. jurisdiction, in the international waters. And, important from my perspective right now, surveillance cameras. According to sources, there are literally hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands and thousands, of hours of surveillance video of Sean Combs and his staff committing wrongdoing. This while one of the most iconic music figures in our lifetime, Sean Combs, has issued a statement where he rails about character assassination and how he has been mistreated. Let me tell you, as a crime victim myself, he doesn't know his rear end from a hole in the ground. If he's talking about his character assassination, with me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know right now, but in the face of an expanding, a widening sex traffic investigation, I want you to take a listen to our friend Dave Mack at Crime Online.
Sean Combs, his girlfriend at the time, Jennifer Lopez, and rapper Jamal Shine Barrow were involved in a fight that included shots being fired at a New York nightclub in 1999. One of the victims of the shooting, Natanya Rubin, has claimed all along that Sean Combs shot her, not Barrow, and she's willing to have doctors remove a piece of bullet that is still in her face to prove it. Shine Barrow took the heat for the shooting and goes to prison for nearly 9 years, while Combs is acquitted of 4 counts of criminal possession of a weapon and bribery. Lopez was never charged.
Wow. Why do I care what happened all the way back in 1999? Because that case is now being reopened, not necessarily for a prosecution. As you will recall, Sean Puffy Combs was acquitted and gun charges stemming out of that incident. But why do I care if it's reopened? For a lot of different reasons. And you're hearing that now a woman allegedly involved in that shooting, a nightclub shooting, is willing to have part of a bullet dug out of her face. You're seeing shots of Combs on Rolling Stone and Billboard. A guy of this ilk, with a fortune this immense, who will be willing to speak out against him? With me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know right now, but straight out to Keila Brantley, investigative reporter, DailyMail.com, who's on the story from the very beginning. If we're going all the way back to a 1999 incident, and that's the best day's work J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, ever did, and man, she is a superstar, is getting rid of Sean Combs. That did it. She was a beautiful, talented, up-and-coming superstar. making her way in the entertainment business. She gets tied up with Combs, and all of a sudden people are shot. Three shooting victims, as I recall, at a nightclub in New York. And there she is hauled into the precinct. Bye-bye. Sadly, I don't think this case is going to end as quickly as that one did for Combs. Killa Brantley, give me the latest.
So Diddy is acting, Nancy, like he is completely innocent. He came out with that statement saying he will fight to prove his innocence. And he's actually been out and about in Miami acting like he is a perfectly man. He was seen with his twin daughters golfing and then stopping by a restaurant and seen by fans. He put his signature L for Brother Love up to the camera. And then he was seen on a dock in Miami over the weekend, shirtless in white swimming trunks, acting as if he has no care in the world. So obviously here we're seeing somebody who hasn't taken fault for anything and will continue to fight to prove his innocence.
You know, has he heard about the shooting victim that has offered to have a bullet dug out of her face in order to be used against Sean Combs? I mean, because that would worry me if a person that was shot in the face by me or my hench people and they want to have the bullet dug out now, all these years later, I got to ask myself, why? Why now? That doesn't concern him?
Well, I mean, he's had a raid on his home and on his two homes, and it seems like nothing has fazed him so far. So much so as on Easter, he posted a photo for the first time of his young daughter just with the caption, "Happy Easter, baby love," and notably disabled the comments from that. And we can understand why.
Are you telling me that he's gone dead on his social? That's hard to believe.
Well, he did post the photo and, again, acts like nothing's wrong. But he doesn't want any comments. You can imagine what kind of comments would be posted under that photo.
You know, also in the past days, his son has come out and demanded everyone, quote, stop the lying. I guess he thinks the feds are lying and all of their claims. Take a listen to this.
The Combs investigation is drawing comparisons to that of Jeffrey Epstein after Rodney Little Rod Jones' lawsuit was filed. Jones accuses Combs of sexually assaulting him and other victims on multiple occasions. Combs' yacht is also drawing comparisons to Jeffrey Epstein, as Combs is accused of luring victims onto a yacht he rents for trips to the Virgin Islands and sexually assaulting guests on the yacht.
With me, as I said, an all-star panel, and right now we're going to break it down. Nobody thought that Jeffrey Epstein would ever go to jail. Prince Andrew didn't. I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat, but I can guarantee you when Clinton was taking a walk with Epstein in front of God and everybody, I bet he didn't ever think Epstein's going to jail. I bet all those high-powered politicos, royalty, you name it, never believed that their good friend Jeffrey Epstein would not only go to jail but end up killing himself, according to reports, over sex claims. Is that what we're seeing now? I want the panel to hear this and jump in. To you, Nima Romani, joining me, former federal prosecutor, which is what I'm interested in right now. Also, the president of West Coast Trial Lawyers and high-profile trial attorney in that jurisdiction. Nima, think about it. Nobody ever thought Epstein would go down, right? But look at the comparisons. I'm very intrigued by the fact that they both used yachts. They both would travel into international waters to wrongfully do their deeds. Now, all of this amounts to allegations against Combs. Nothing has been proven. It has been proven against Epstein. Private planes, private yachts, taking them again into international waters outside the U.S. jurisdiction. That does not mean the long arm of the law cannot reach them. But their modes of travel, remember the so-called Lolita Express that Epstein used and had a lot of high-profile politicians and stars on his plane that he would take to his private island. The homes that I find very interesting, Nima Romani, are in California, Florida, and New York, and beyond. Why? Why is that apparently their choice of where these activities, nefarious activities, are taking place? We got to examine that, Nima. What is interesting about that also is the use of hidden cameras. we believe, and according to a witness, is catching literally thousands of hours of what could be State's Exhibit Number 1. Jump in, Nima.
In the Epstein case, you have to give credit to the victims like Virginia Giuffre, who wouldn't let the story go after Alex Acosta gave him a sweetheart deal. And here, really, it started with Cassie Ventura, and then others have come forward. Now, we know that abusers, people that sexually abuse young women, they often use intermediaries or others to groom the victims. And obviously, we know about Ghislaine Maxwell, but here you have his chief of staff, Diddy's chief of staff, Christina Joram, who's alleged and named in Little Rod's lawsuit. And of course, he is really the impetus for, I think, these search warrants. He's the one that talked about these hidden cameras throughout the residences. He's the one who identified names of other rich and powerful people like Cuba Gooding Jr., who are allegedly involved in all this. So we know that Diddy had a lot of connections here in Los Angeles, where I will live, in Miami, in New York, business connections. And I wouldn't be surprised if these allegations are proven, Nancy, that there's other rich and famous people who were involved in this, much like Jeffrey Epstein.
Man, we never heard anything more about those so-called hidden cameras in Epstein's place. We never really heard everything in the little black book full of names and clients, accordingly, in Ghislaine Maxwell's possession. Will that be the same here? Is anybody actually going to prosecute Combs? Because we've heard a lot about searches and raids by home security investigators. Where's the charge? Because Nima, I was a Fed for 3 years, and you were a Fed much longer than that. When the state moves on a search warrant, they've got you. They got you by the, let me think of a nice way to say it, by the short hairs. It's over. By the time they pull up on your block, it's done. You might as well start working on a guilty plea right then. So what's the holdup? Why are we hearing all about the raids and then there's no charge?
Oh, I think the indictment is happening any day now, Nancy. And you're right, times are changing. You know, what was tolerated before, the Epsteins, R. Kellys of the world, Weinsteins, you name it. I mean, they are going down. I mean, this is something that federal prosecutors are now taking very seriously. We know the Southern District of New York is quarterbacking. They're the best of the best. So they have probable cause, they have PC to get search warrants executed by a federal judge. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're presenting the case to the grand jury this week. You know, Diddy may seem comfortable on social media and in the shorts and golfing, but he's likely going to be arrested in a matter of days. Believe it.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Guys, right now, is an indictment prepared and ready to take to a vote for a grand jury? With me an all-star panel, but I'm going to run right back to Nima Romani. This is how it works. We've all heard the phrase, you could get a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich. I don't know if that's true, but I can tell you this. Whoever is leading the grand jury, and I presented to a grand jury for months and months and months, you bring in typically one witness, if you can, one witness, preferably the lead investigator, and they give a recap to the grand jury, which typically, depending on the jurisdiction, is 20 to 40-ish people on the voter registration that live in that jurisdiction, i.e. that county or that district. They listen to the witness. They rarely ask questions. Sometimes they do. And then the witness leaves. Bam, vote. That's called a trubial or an indictment. If they decide not to indict, which is probably at the request of the prosecutor, it's a no bill. No bill of indictment. Are you telling me, Nima Romani, you believe the indictment, the federal grand jury indictment, has already been drawn up, in other words, typed out with all the counts, and it's waiting for a grand jury presentment or vote or to be made public?
Oh, Nancy, I do. That indictment has been drafted. If you're the feds, you don't go into someone's home like Diddy unless you're ready to indict. And this is why. First of all, we saw that armed law enforcement presence. Violence may ensue. But from a legal perspective, from a case perspective, people may disappear. They may flee the jurisdiction and evidence may be destroyed. Those search warrants are the final step of the investigation, because when you're the feds, You have the luxury of waiting when you're conducting these proactive investigations. You're not reacting to law enforcement already arresting someone and you're stuck with the case. You have the luxury of making sure that all those witnesses are interviewed. Maybe they're put in front of the grand jury. You have all the counts and everything you need, because once you execute that search warrant, you put your target on notice, and you don't want to do that until you're ready. And I believe the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York is ready right now to prosecute Sean Combs.
To Robert Crispin joining me, former federal task force officer for U.S. DOJ, that's Department of Justice, with the DEA in the Miami Field Division, never a lack of business there. Former homicide and crimes against children investigator, now at CrispinInvestigations.com. Robert, one question for now. You think all the people we just showed on that flowchart aren't begging to sing for a plea deal? I mean, I'd have my lawyer on the phone yesterday working a deal so I wouldn't spend the next 50 years in the penitentiary.
Listen, they know it's coming, and they're trying to get the best seat in the house, and they're going to these prosecutors saying, what can I give you? Let's sit down, let's talk, because those chairs are going to fill up really fast once this thing starts to unwind and once people start getting arrested. But if I can back up just 2 seconds about that search warrant, you know, I'm not real sure that an indictment is going to come out this quickly, because there's a lot of electronics that were taken. And I will tell you, from doing multiple federal search warrants and taking a lot of electronic devices, that stuff takes time to go through systematically. You got to retrieve data that's been deleted. And ironically, the hidden cameras that were in, you know, in Diddy's house are probably going to be the same cameras that are going to sink him.
Crispin, you think the feds haven't done everything you just said except the cameras? Because if they'd gotten the cameras, Combs, I know you're on a first name basis with Sean P. Combs, but that said, I'm not. Combs and his staff would know if those cameras had been seized off a yacht or at his locations where he lives, his domiciles. We don't know that yet, but everything you just talked about, I guarantee you the feds have done. I would not be surprised if they haven't been wiretapping him. I mean, they go all the way, Crispin, as you well know from your prior investigations. And I'm telling you, they would not have made a public raid, a simultaneous raid with assault weapons, if they were not ready on their indictment. Those raids were used to support the indictment they've already drawn up. When I say drawn up, it's because you, a person, writes out the indictment. They may then later type it. But you write out the charges you think you can prove, and then you support it with the evidence. I guarantee you they've got the indictment ready to go. They're either waiting on a vote, or they've already had a grand jury vote and they're waiting to go public. That's what I think is happening. Now, what is the fallout? How is Combs behaving? Because a jury could take into account what occurred before, during, and after. To Dr. John Delatorre joining me, a psychologist, mediator, specializing in forensic psychology, a witch hunt. You know, that's what always happens. When you have the crap coming at you, what do? You put it in a ball and you throw it back like a snowball at whoever threw it to start with. That's what's happening here. Witch hunt, it's like focus off all the evidence and focus on me. I'm being persecuted. That's what that is.
Yeah, that's 100% what that is. And that's part of being, that's part of the motif, right? The thematic elements that it means to be an abuser. It's making the other person, the victims or whoever it is that's coming after you, making them the villains, because in your mind, you haven't done anything wrong. Now, we don't know how he is actually responding when there aren't cameras around. I'm pretty sure he's furious and contacting his attorney about getting this thing fixed, because in his mind, he's been able to get away with this for so long that he's forgotten that all of this stuff is abusive. He's forgotten all that stuff is unlawful. He doesn't care that all of this stuff has hurt so many people, and he's contributed to so many further abuses of individuals who probably already been abused in their lives. He didn't care about any of that stuff. The only thing he ever cared about was himself and what he could get from other people.
What does everybody around Sean Combs know that they don't want to say? In a career that has been marked by murder, untimely deaths, and prison, now, finally, are we at the point where a grand jury indictment is going to be handed down? If you saw him in the last few days, you'd think Sean Puffy P. Diddy Combs has not a care in the world. I don't know if that's true. Joining me, Kayla Brantley, investigative reporter, DailyMail.com. But first, to Shannon Henry, president and founder of SASS, S-A-S-S, Surviving Assault Standing Strong, a nonprofit whose mission is to eradicate sex trafficking and violence against women and girls globally. Shannon Henry, I know that a lot of times SASS, your group, deals with pimps, sex trafficking, massage parlors, nail parlors, where you unearth the dregs of society, taking advantage of underage girls and women that can't speak for themselves. I guess it's pretty rare that you get a media and music mogul, literally a music icon, in your crosshairs. But what can you tell us about prior incidents? We're mentioning untimely deaths, shooting, prison. What?
So, sure, Nancy, thank you. It's, you know, we've worked with 20,000 women on four different continents. And when you're looking at the playbook, whether it's Epstein or Cosby or anyone else, there are certain criteria that they hit. Now, we know that with Sean, things have been riddled with violence, with grooming, with intimidation, physical violence, guns, pornography, underage girls, like you said, promises, sexual violence and abuse, emotional abuse, and his circle of cronies, who I call his buddy guards, that he pays off to keep everything quiet and intimidate other people in order to maintain control. But we do know about two incidents that have occurred also where there have been shootings, whether it was at the nightclub or it was at the recording studio. It just seems like no matter where he is, New York, L.A., the Virgin Islands, Miami, whether he's on a yacht or he's in a car or he's at the studio, bad things happen when he's around.
We're seeing blood and evidence of some sort of a struggle. Does that have something to do with his son, Justin's friend?
It does. They call him Mr. G inside.
What happened?
Sure. So there was an argument. This is all according to Little Rod, and it was in his court documents. When all of this came to be, he was sitting about 2 feet from the incident. He heard yelling. Sean and his son were in a room along with Mr. G. And then when they came out, it was clear that there was blood. He heard the gunshots. He was afraid for his own life, tried to help, according to the documents, and was told not to. This man was bleeding from several areas in his body. The police were called to come in and help, but the ambulance stayed several blocks away, according to the documents again, because they were worried about an active shooter, because they were told that this was a drive-by.
Guys, I want you to take a listen to Aubrey O'Day, Uncle Luke, and Cat Williams speaking out. Listen.
I wasn't willing to do what was expected of me. Not talent-wise, but in other areas.
So what was expected of her? You're hearing Aubrey O'Day of Making the Band 3. Kayla Brantley, what is she talking about? I wasn't willing to do what was expected of me, not talent-wise, but other areas.
Well, now with these allegations, you can infer that it was likely something sexual. And like Aubrey O'Day and like Tanique Garay, these are stories that you're probably going to hear a lot more of. People are going to come out with their own stories of Diddy. And it's very interesting because that does remind me of Jeffrey Epstein, and it does remind me of Harvey Weinstein, in that this was all just an open secret, that in these Hollywood elite circles, people knew of this behavior. But of course, there's intimidation tactics. Of course, there's alleged blackmail. So we will likely hear many more stories, but it just depends if these people are willing to come forward when it matters most.
But I want to focus on what we're hearing, Kayla Brantley, joining us from DailyMail.com. In the last 48 hours, 50 Cent's Fitty has gone crazy on social media. Why?
So 50 Cent's ex, Daphne Joy, they share a 12-year-old son together. She was named in the Little Rod lawsuit as a sex worker for Diddy. And 50 Cent, they are not on good terms. He has been trolling Diddy since this began. And now he's come out hitting out against his ex, Daphne Joy, which she has completely denied. So now even more players are getting involved.
I'm just wondering, Nima Romani, all the people that say they're not willing to speak out. For instance, the one backup singer who says she doesn't want to talk about it. Not that I blame her. But these are people that are going to get called to grand jury because they're out there. They're putting it on social media. That's low-hanging fruit for the feds.
Oh, there's no question they're going to get grand jury subpoenas. And whether they want to or not, they're going to have to testify. So obviously, if you're a prosecutor, you want to be sensitive to a victim of sex abuse. And to the extent that you don't need them, maybe you don't put them in front of a trial jury. But a grand jury is a secret proceeding, meeting with prosecutors. Those meetings happen behind closed doors. So that's going to happen whether the victim wants to or not.
You know, a lot of people rail Nima Romani against, quote, secret grand jury proceedings. There's nothing at all unconstitutional about a secret grand jury proceeding. Hearsay is allowed in grand jury proceedings. As you just correctly pointed out, hearsay is not allowed in front of a petit jury, which is a jury of 12 or a smaller petite jury. And the rules of evidence come into play. They're not in play at a grand jury. So what happens at the grand jury may remain secret forever, although at some point the defense has access to the grand jury transcript so they can see who, what, where, why, when occurred in the grand jury proceedings. I want you to now listen to Uncle Luke on We in Miami.
Did you party with Diddy a lot?
Oh, no, not really. I would go to the party and leave early. I don't know what goes on after hours, but
he wasn't trying to find out.
I wasn't trying to find out.
Does anybody on this panel believe that? What about it, De La Torre? There you've got Uncle Luke on We in Miami who's partying with Diddy and goes, well, you know, I leave early and I go home and read a book. BS. Nobody left early. Did you see those party pictures? Nobody's leaving. That's what I call a witness.
Yeah, it doesn't look like anybody's leaving early, although I can kind of see sort of part of where this joke is, where it's an open secret, where they're starting to say, listen, I already know that this guy's a bad guy. I don't want to be lumped in with all of this stuff. So I'm just going to keep my mouth closed. I'm going to keep my eyes closed. I'm not going to say anything. Because in some instances, there might be retribution to be paid if you started saying things out of turn. Maybe not now, but certainly back then when Diddy still had some power and influence and can do these kinds of things, we see violence and shooting is not outside of Diddy's realm. So it's certainly possible that some of these people are saying this kind of stuff in order to keep themselves safe.
De La Torre, I don't know what you're saying. When Combs did have power and influence, he's got power and influence right now. His estimated worth is over $1 billion. And everyone seemingly is afraid to speak out. You've got these lawsuits, which really crack the case wide open. But this is a guy who has an empire, a clothing line, a liquor line, founder of Bad Boy Records, millions and millions of dollars of property holdings. Although I read Kayla Brantley this weekend, he is up to his neck in hock to over $100 million on all of his properties around the world. What do you know?
So DailyMail.com revealed that he actually took out 8 mortgages for his 3 properties, one in Los Angeles, which was raided, and his 2 side-by-side mansions in Miami, which were also raided. Now he's owes over $140 million is what he took out, and he still owes $100 million on them roughly. And these have to be paid out within the next few years, if not, you know, from now until the next 10 years. And obviously now he's up to his neck in legal fees that he will be having to pay soon. So unclear what he's going to do about that, but he is allegedly a billionaire, but we'll see when the time comes.
Of
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
A lot has been made about trafficking allegations in the last 48 hours. Sean Puffy Combs, a.k.a. Diddy, seems to be unaffected. This is what I would do right now, Nima Romani, if I were prosecuting this case. If they haven't already done it, and I imagine that they have, I would get the hench person who is allegedly Moy Bon. The hench person and the drug mule. One of Combs' alleged drug mules. I would get the two of them, and I would get them in a room, not together, of course, and I would offer them a deal in order to get testimony and eyewitness accounts of anything and everything they could tell me. What about it, Nima? You're going to have. I mean, Combs has already walked. He was acquitted on guns charges, right? He has tremendous popularity with the jury. You have to have eyewitness, credible eyewitness testimony to back up your evidence if you want to win this case. Corroboration.
Well, Nancy, that's exactly how you prosecute any criminal enterprise. You flip the lower level people and you work your way up the organization. And that graphic was there. And so we know the alleged drug mule, Paul. I mean, he has to safety valve, which means he has to proffer truthfully. Otherwise, he's looking at a mandatory minimum sentence. Obviously, Bond. If you're caught up in sex trafficking, a conspiracy to sex traffic minors or produce child pornography, you're looking at 10 or 15 year mandatory minimum sentences. And the only way he's going to get out from that is if he cooperates. So you're right, Nancy. Jurors love celebrities. And he's got a very good lawyer, Aaron Dyer. I used to work with him. He's a former AUSA. So he's not going to take any type of deal. So if you're going to prosecute this case, as the feds, you got to make sure you flip all those other individuals and make them testify against your real target. And that's Sean Combs.
Now to Kayla Brantley, investigative reporter joining us from DailyMail.com. Kayla, we're talking about grand jury proceedings, which I believe have probably already taken place. But if they haven't, who is the single witness you believe the state will call to testify in front of a grand jury?
I think the best witness here would be Cassie. She was his girlfriend for 10 years with obvious intimate knowledge of how he works, all the ins and outs. They must have lived together. And she really was the catalyst that really set all of this out. Once she filed her lawsuit, it was then that three other women came forward, that Lil Rod came forward, who would also make an excellent, excellent witness. So if I had to pick one, I would say Cassie's the way to go.
Guys, it's Kayla Brantley joining us, investigative reporter, DailyMail.com. Shannon Henry joining us, president and founder of Surviving Assault, Standing Strong. Weigh in, Shannon.
I also want people to understand that these people that are coming forward are so extremely brave. There is no promise on the return of their disclosure. They're risking everything, their reputation, their career, their assets, their sleep, their family, their friends. Everything hangs in the balance. And that I hope that when it does come down to that moment where these people are able to be heard and their voices are able to be listened to, that the things that often people use against survivors, things like drug and alcohol use, which is a coping mechanism, not necessarily a healthy one, but it is a coping mechanism. And their gaps in recall, which just proves that they were trying to survive something really traumatic and logic was shut down in that moment. I hope that all of this will be used, not only to honor these people for what they've done and how they've come forward, but to prove the guilty party is Diddy and the cronies that he surrounded himself with.
Shannon Henry, we've been talking about responses from Combs' camp. We've been talking about potential grand juror witnesses.
With me here in the studio, Jackie Howard. Jackie, what more do you know?
Ashton Kutcher and Sean Diddy Combs have a long-standing friendship spanning more than 20 years, but don't expect the actor to voice his support as he did for that 70s show co-star Danny Masterson. Masterson was charged and convicted with raping two women. Sources tell DailyMail.com that now wife Mila Kunis will not allow any comment about possible charges against Combs. Kutcher and Combs' friendship began during Kutcher's punked days when Combs called the actor, asserting that punking him would not be a good idea. The pair have supported each other's venture since, including Combs' cologne launch. Insiders also say Kutcher is expecting a subpoena due to their close relationship.
One thing that's gotten lost in the sauce is what sex attack victims go through when you're essentially coerced. You may not be beaten, but you're coerced into unwanted sex acts. Many women never make a comeback from that. Like, you heard the one woman earlier saying she can't even talk about it. She doesn't want to remember it because she's trying to be happy. And you know what I hate, Shannon? I hate when somebody out of the blue brings up to me my fiancé's murder. I hate that. Why? Because I can be having a perfectly happy day with my two children that I have now that I thought I would never have. And then suddenly, it's like somebody throws a bucket of wet, ice cold water right in my face. It reminds me of the worst thing, one of the worst things that has ever happened to me. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to remember it. It's so traumatic. Explain it. You may be on a yacht. You may be given a whole bunch of money, and you, but it doesn't take away what you were forced to do.
It doesn't take it away, and our bodies immediately go back and access the smells, the sights, the sounds from that moment. And then our physical response happens where we feel like we need to run or fight or hide. And so for these victims that are now going through all of this so publicly, this is what they're experiencing on a daily basis.
We wait as the investigation into Sean Puffy Combs, a.k.a. P. Diddy, unfolds. But right now we pause and we remember an American hero, Chief Deputy Sheriff Ken Prorok, struck by a suspect's vehicle in the line of duty, South Dakota, loved coaching his son's baseball team, and leaves behind a loving wife, Renee, and three children to be raised without a father, Brooke, Taylor, and JD. We remember Ken Prorok. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.